committing to each other by his word and from our hearts. We will be a family in a house that will be a home, and with faith we'll build it strong. We'll build a house, hold a faith that together we can make. And when the strong winds blow, it won't fall down. As one in him will grow, and the whole world will know we are a household of faith. Now to be a family, we've got to love each other at any cost, unselfishly. And our home must be a place that fully abounds with grace, a reflection of his face. We'll build a house on a faith that together we can make. And when the strong winds blow, it won't fall down. As one in him will grow, and the whole world will know we are a household of faith. We'll build a household of faith that together we can make. And when the strong winds blow, it won't fall down. As one in him will grow, and the whole world will know we are a household of faith.
Amen. That there's my sweetheart. Appreciate Miss Kim. She stepped in the last minute and was there for us, and what a joy that is. Take your Bibles, if you would, and find your place in Joshua chapter number 24. Again, it's good to have each one of you here. Kids, you are dismissed. All right, I know you're antsy to get out of here. Appreciate Brother Caleb taking Brother Dean's place, and certainly keep in mind, now, Brother Dean and Miss Cheryl, they are in Florida. What a shame. Isn't that a shame? I know they're watching. It's a shame you're there. But we're praying that the Lord give them a wonderful time and a good trip on the way back. But take your Bible and look there with me. I like to read verse number 24. I hope you might have this highlighted. And let's all stand, all right? Once you find that, it's easy to find your place sitting. And once you find it, then let's all stand. And we're going to read this, and we're going to have a word of prayer. And then we'll continue, all right? Joshua chapter number 24 and verse number 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This month is a very special month. as I've dedicated it at Family Month. Each service, Sunday morning and Sunday night, as the Lord wills, we'll be dealing with family. We'll be dealing with a home, marriage, kids, singles. No one's left out. This is a series that I believe is so much needed today. And I want you to be present. I want you to be here for this. And we also need to ask the Lord to bless, shouldn't we? Let's do that. Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, it can be a very sensitive subject. Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll help us this morning. Lord, may the distractions and may the devil, Lord, just stay clear. Lord, just give us some time with you. Lord, as we sit around your word, we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Joshua covers the title of the message. I don't know if I put that up there. Yeah, for me and my house. I mean, this is a decision that you're going to take, right? This is a decision you are going to make, Lord willing. Now, Joshua covers, the book of Joshua covers about 40 years, a span of 40 years. From the time that the children of Israel, when Joshua took over command as the leader of the children of Israel, they crossed over the Jordan River and gave glory to God for it. They set up the stones that were in the middle of the river. You remember the priest brought them out and set them up and to be a memorial. Well, that's a good message right there. Throughout 40 years, God's done some wonderful things, given Joshua leadership. In the very beginning, he told Joshua how to lead. And we're going to look at that in just a minute as well. But you come to the end of Joshua's life, and his strength is withering away. His eyes are becoming dim, and his hearing is becoming dull. But yet, in his breath, he has one last challenge to the children of Israel. Chapter number 24 is that challenge, and he gives them a reminder from the very beginning of chapter number 24 of what God had done. Sometimes we need reminders of what God has done from the moment that they cried out in Israel and God heard their cry and delivered them from bondage, crossing over the Red Sea while the Egyptians were after them, and he swallowed them up in the waters and they drowned there, and how blessed him in the 40 years of the wilderness wanderings and fed them daily, gave them water daily. I mean, all their needs were met and God blessed them. Now Joshua has the reins. Moses can't go over because he disobeyed God, but he's seen the promised land. But now the reins have begun over to Joshua, the second in command. And now Joshua has found himself quite unworthy to do it. There's no one better than Moses, he's thinking in his mind. And God says, I've chosen you. You can do it. This is how I want you to do it. And he shares with him in Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. You might want to highlight them sometime or look at them later on. But he says, you know, if you want to prosper, don't turn from the right hand to the left hand, but, you know, stay straight on the straight and narrow. And this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. He says, I want you to hold on to it. I want you to practice it. That's how you're going to prosper. By the way, you cannot prosper as a Christian outside of the Word of God. You can't do it. There's no way in your strength. You may try, but you'll fail miserably. You cannot prosper outside of the Word of God as a child of God. It just doesn't happen. This book is in design of how God gives and blesses us. He has a design for their life. And in God's design, in God's plan, especially in the life of Joshua in this moment, it was a plan for God to bless them. And God wanted to bless them as they went into the land, and they were eating that which they didn't plant. They were in homes which they didn't build. They were drawing water from wells which they didn't dig. God blessed them, see? But they were still in the land of the Midian or the Amorites and still practicing Baal worship and ungodliness, and they were still doing it. And so in Joshua's dying breath, he he gives them a challenge, and he not just gives them the challenge, but he already makes a statement of his decision. So with that, I have a great concern today. And really, I have a broken heart. And you should have well for the health of our homes. And when I talk about the health of our homes, I'm not talking about our COVID and our sinuses and, you know, all this other stuff that goes along. I'm not talking about that type of health. I'm talking about the spiritual well-being, the spiritual health of our homes. Our homes ought to be the example of Christ. Our relationships, our children, our training, everything ought to be the example of Christ. And we wonder today why families aren't being reached. Because our homes don't display the picture of Christ as it should. There's not much said today on the home. There's not many sermons today that specifically deal with the home. Now, we may slip in a verse or two every now and then. We may quote, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We may slip that in a sermon, but the sermon's not on that. We may talk about a husband's well with them according to knowledge, talking about husbands and your wives, and we may slip that in. We may insert, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, and yet we don't really specifically deal with those things. And then we find our families struggling in our Christian circles, in our churches. We haven't been taught. We haven't been shown the Word of God, these powerful verses that need to be understood, and not just understood, but to be practiced. Would you agree with that? We may touch on those subjects, but there will be some things that we may touch on that may be a little hard to swallow. Maybe a little difficult and uneasy to hear. But can I say, if it's God's word, then you and I must humbly accept it? Would you agree? Amen, preacher. That's right. I have to. It's God's word, so I have to accept it. Amen? Amen. It's going to be hard. Absolutely. Going to be difficult. Oh, yeah, it will be. Trust me. I've already been stepped on many times studying this. I got right 4 times yesterday. It's going to be hard. It's going to be something that we need to reflect on. We'll look at some biblical perspectives, Lord willing, and how God wants us to function in a home. It's God's design, which he has given us, and the plans that he has given us. And I believe this with all my heart, that God doesn't want you to survive in marriage. Doesn't want you to survive in marriage. I know many marriages are surviving. Many marriages are on the brink of breaking up, on the brink of just dissolving it all. God doesn't want you to survive in your marriage, in your home. He wants you to thrive in it. He doesn't want you to survive, but he wants you to thrive in it. He wants you to flourish in it. He wants you to grow in it. He wants your marriage and your home life to be honoring, to be a picture of Christ. Thrive in our marriage. Thrive on raising our children. Thrive as a young person in obedience to mom and dad. Thrive as a single individual trying to serve God. You know, I was single one time. And during that time, before I got married, I set in my heart to be obedient to the Lord. Circumstances didn't always lend itself in my direction, somewhat not in my favor. The odds were against me many times. At least it felt like, as a teenage boy, as a young person, felt like everything and everybody was against me, and I'm just trying to serve God, and you know who's against me? It's the devil himself. That's who's against me. It wasn't my parents. It wasn't the world. It was the devil himself. But he used different scenarios to grab my attention, to try to draw me away from God. But I made it a point in my life years ago that I'm going to serve the Lord. I made that decision as a single teenager going to a public school. I know what it's like to be faced with sin and temptation. But I also know what it's like to take a stand. And God blessed our families today need to make some decisions. God wants you to survive. He wants you to be that flourishing, that prosperous ornament, that picture of God that is to be displaying in your home. I don't mean have a Bible on your mantle or put a crucifix above your bed or something like that. That's not what I'm talking about. The picture of Christ ought to be you. It ought to be your family. It ought to be how your children are obedient to you. How you love your wife. Wife, how you love your husbands. Some of you thought I was going to say submit, didn't you? Yes, wives, you're to submit to your husband. And by the way, husband, you're to submit to your wife, submitting yourselves one to another. It's across the board equal. And God wants that, the best for us. And our marriage ought to thrive and be that ornament and picture of Christ. That marriages today, your home should be a haven. Your home should be a place of rest. Your home should be a place where there's laughter and joy. Filled with being comfortable and a home of stability. That's what your home ought to be like. Too many homes today are filled with negativity. Too many homes today are filled with rooms full of arguments. Homes full of resentment one to another. That's not a picture of Christ. That's not a godly picture. Whether you've been married a year, whether you've been married 50 years, it's all the same. Throughout this series, we'll be looking at some biblical illustrations, Lord willing, and some verses concerning the husband and wife, the marriage relationship. We're going to be looking at wives, what's your portion? Husbands, what's expected of you? Young person, teenagers, what role do you play in the home? How's this going to help our family? Well, if you look in Joshua 24, he made the decision. There has to be a decision. Yes, Joshua made it for the whole family, and I think there's a wonderful principle in this as well. Husbands, leaders, spiritual priests of the home, it's your responsibility before God. How many husbands like to do the driving? If your wife is in the car, how many husbands like to do the driving? How many husbands used to do the driving all the time? All right? I know sometimes in parodies, and I know, you know, Brother Cardiff, he drives his wife crazy sometimes, but he drives every now and then, but at night she drives. I understand that, but you know something, it's almost natural for the man to be that leader to drive. My wife lets me drive. She says I'm the leader of the home. She lets me. She told me that I can be, and so it's our response. You finally got that, didn't you? We'll have to start over. But it's that natural God-given responsibility, that leadership role that God has given them in. And Joshua took that and he applied it in his home. He took that and he applied it spiritually. And you and I have to do that. You know, my wife and I will be coming up on 34 years of marriage. And I'm so glad for that. I really am. And listen... The statistics years ago on the home, the statistics years ago of divorce rate, the statistics years ago of pornography involvement, infidelity, marital problems, statistics years ago, the world was just winning the race on it. The world was just scores ahead of the church, the Christians. Today, in 2022, it's flip-flopped. The divorce rates are more rampant in the Christian realm than in the world. Pornography involvement is more common in the church-going family than it is in the world. Marital instability and problems have skyrocketed above the world, and divorce rates in the Christian home have surpassed the world statistics. I think our homes need help. I think our marriages need a lot of attention. I think we need to begin to make some decisions in our homes and in our lives and our marital relationship. May God help us do that. May God help us in our marriage. May God help us in our home. May God help us with our children, teenagers. May the Lord help you be that teenager, that young person that not does mom and dad expect, but what God expects. It's all about what God expects. Don't do it for me. Don't do it for mom and dad. Don't do it for mama, papa, grandpa, grandma, grammy, pappy, whatever you call them. Do it for God. Everything is for God. And if I please God, if I'm following God, then you know who else I'm going to please? I'm going to please my mom and dad. Husband, if I'm following God, then I'm going to please my wife and I'm going to be the right dad. Wives, if I follow God, I'm going to love my husband. I'm going to help my children. I'm going to be the right mother. If I follow God, all these things will just fall in order. Tonight, Lord willing, I'm going to talk about the pyramid of marriage. I hope it'll be a help to you. Some of us started off wrong in our life, in our marriage. Some of us started off well in our marriage. But what does God expect the marriage to be now, today? I'm not talking about last week. What does he expect it today? Because Joshua said, choose you this day. You see, today's a day. I'm not talking about last week. I'm not talking about tomorrow. You are to make a choice today. You're here today by a divine appointment. Do you believe that? God brought you here. And you're here by a divine appointment. There is a reason that you are here this morning. And God says, today, it's your turn to choose. Joshua said, I've already chosen. Choose you today. 34 years of marriage, my wife and I began to our marriage. 34 years in April, to be believed or not. And can I say it hadn't been bliss? She's not here. I know that. I know that. But I got her notes here, so I'm good. She understands. She would agree. It's not been all roses. No. There's been bumps, yeah. There's been a lot of bruises along the way. You know, when we got married, we didn't have children. We got married. We had to try to learn each other, but within 7 years of our marriage, we had 4 children. Is that about right, Ms. Elizabeth? That's pretty close to it, isn't it? In seven years, we had 4 children. We had to learn each other, which we didn't really get fully understand one another. And then all of a sudden, we started having our children. And our philosophy is we're going to have them young so we can enjoy them. And we are. We're really enjoying them. You know, we're just turning the speed limit, and we have 8 grandkids, and Lord willing, we're going to have more. I'm excited about that. But during those years of marriage, we had to learn one another, and we had to learn how to raise children at the same time. I want you to understand that no marriage is perfect. No marriage will be naturally good. No home will be naturally comfortable. No home will be the haven of rest naturally. You know why? Because we are naturally born sinners. Amen? You married a sinner. I married a sinner. We had little sinners. You know what? you know what our home consists of? Little sinners, big sinners, we're all sinners. It's not going to come naturally in our home. My marriage and the love that we want to display didn't come naturally. We had to work on it. It takes effort. It takes mistakes. It takes time. I'm not the expert. Honestly, I'm not the expert on marriage. You can ask my wife on that. You can ask my kids on that. I'm not the expert on raising children. No. I don't know anybody who is. If they are, I'd like to talk to them. But as far as I know, there's nobody that's an expert. I suppose I could become an expert in the world's eyes. There's an expert for everything. There's an expert on how to pump gas properly. They have experts on everything. To be honest with you, there's nobody in this world that is an expert, not Dr. Phil. Nobody's an expert on marriage. Nobody's an expert on children that lives in this world. But I do know one who is, and that's God Himself. He's given you and I the plan. He's given us the design. And the best we can, by God's grace, we try to fulfill it. It's almost like Cleveland Browns. They had a playbook. They knew how to win the game, but I don't think they're in the Super Bowl right now, are they? Listen, God got the playing book. God's got all the game plans. We just have to follow it. See, preacher, what if we mess up? Well, you pick back up and you do it again. Preacher, what if I don't get it right? By God's grace, you will. Nobody's perfect. You know, when you have raised four children, trained them, I got to be careful. I'm going to use biblical terms. We train them. I raise corn. You raise cattle. I train children. Amen. The first one's always that guinea pig, isn't he? Or she. That first child is always like, I'm not sure what to do on this. I don't know. Let's try it. The second one is, well, we tried that on the first. Let's try the opposite. The third one is like, the one that really they know what they're doing. And mom and dad's established we know what we're doing, so the fourth one, they don't care. The youngest is always the spoiled, isn't they? But God's got us the plan. He's given us this design for us to follow through. Now I've got something for you, okay? I'm going to have the ushers. They're going to pass out a survey, something different, something completely unorthodox, I suppose. Now, I don't want you to copy. It's not something you ought to copy one another, okay? This is for you individually, all right? For you individually. This is not something for you to say, hey, what'd you put on number two? All right? This is for you. If you got to, you know, fill it out later at your quiet time, but I want you to bring them back this evening. If you happen to fill it out while I'm preaching, that's up to you. God knows, okay? But if you would, put it in my mailbox in that little slot back there that I never checked. If you would put it back there, I promise I will pick them up. Don't put your name on, okay? I don't want to know your name. Don't want to know your age. Don't want to know if you're female or male. Doesn't make any difference. I just fill them out anonymously. But be honest with it, okay? Be honest with it. It'll help me understand where we are as far as a church. It'll help you be in reality of where you stand or where your home is. So if you would, just fill those out. I think there's 10 or 12 questions on there and nothing major, all right? But if you would do that, and we'll go ahead and we'll look at them, or I'll look at them. I'm not going to display them. And I want you to say, I want to say this lovingly. Some of these answers are going to be hard to really be honest about. Okay, because you're going to want to put something else that doesn't really exist. So be honest. And give God glory. This month is about giving God the glory in our homes and in our marriage and in our husband-wife relationship. And if we're not able to face the truth, then my friend, God's not going to help us. Luke 5:32 says, Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Basically saying, if you don't think you have need, then I'm not calling you. But those that know they have a need, I'm here for them. And if you and I understand that we have a need, and you may go through that and check, maybe one is the best and 10 is the worst, or one is the worst and 10 is the best. I'm not sure which way I got it on there. But, you're going through and you got the best, and all of a sudden you hit a roadblock there. Now you got to be honest about something. And listen, it's about God doing a work in your life. Don't poke one another when you fill it out, all right? Because this month is about you. You can't fix your spouse. You can't fix your children to a degree. Let me say it that way. The Holy Spirit has to do the greatest work. And every Holy Spirit, or every individual that has the Holy Spirit in them, has to allow that Holy Spirit to do great work in their life. You may say, well, our home doesn't need improvement. Well, come talk to me. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You better be careful. Don't get so proud and high mighty and saying your marriage or your home, your family doesn't need some attention. We all need attention, amen? We all need attention. There's not one of us, single or not, a quiver full of children or not, we all need attention in our home. And so I'm going to ask you to fill those out. And all of our marriages, everything needs home in our homes. We just need improvement. So fill those out, and that'll be a help to me to know how to pray and ask God direction throughout this month. And so I ask you to pray for me. This is a difficult month in the sense that I have to look at myself. Can I tell you about 3 months ago, when I've been getting to pray about this and God laid on my heart to do this, can I tell you that my wife and I had more difficulties since then? I'll just be honest with you. You say, well, what kind of difficulties? Well, little husband-wife things, misunderstandings. Yesterday, we went to Indiana. The day before church, went to Indiana. My wife she's a driver on the passenger side a lot. I don't know if they give out license for them, but she does very well. I'm surprised she doesn't have a 5-point harness in the car. We just started out. She don't know I'm telling a story, but she'll know once y'all leave. She's watching, she's listening. I have nothing to hide. And so we start out and there's a car coming to stop mine, and I see the car. And we're on ice and snow, and I'm in her car, and it's all-wheel drive, no big deal. I notice when she grabs the handle and she braces her foot as if she's pressing the brake with me, or bracing herself for an onward collision. I'm not sure what it is, but I know that's coming. And then shortly after that, the grappling hook on the leg. She grabs my leg, Greg, and squeezes my leg. As she's stomping on the floor, as she's holding onto the handle, and I'm driving, looking at a car with my legs pressure being just, my blood pressure just getting cut off. I know. And so, my natural reaction is, oh, honey, sweetheart, please, I understand. I see him. That wasn't my natural reaction. Okay? I see him. That's my natural. You want me to be honest? I'll be honest with you. That's my natural reaction. Honey, I see him. it wasn't another, we didn't get out of town, it happened again. Honey, we're going to go all the way to Indiana. But you know what we did? And you know, the devil's at it. He's at it. I recognize that. I recognize that like black and white. I know when the devil begins to work. So you know what we did? You know, we talked it out. We didn't have an argument or anything like that. You know what I said? I said, your hair looks nice today. That's a guy's way of saying, I love you. And you know what we did after that? We started listening to some sermons on the family. Listen, not every home is perfect. There's no home that's perfect. Everybody needs help. And when we say, you know, my home, my family, my spouse, or myself, I'm good. No, you better be careful. You're going to fall. You're teetering. You're going to fall. And Joshua here. Now, go with me back to Joshua. We're going to close here in just a minute. I've got some things I want you to think about. Joshua 24. Now, I want you to read it out loud with me, okay? In verse number 15, I want you to read it out loud. It may be up on the board behind me, but if you want to highlight it, look at your Bible, you can do that as well. And but Joshua 24, 15, you say it with me, would you? Here we go. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This decision that Joshua makes, this was a decision that a leader of the home made in spite of others. You have to look at the situation, look at the surrounding, look at the context. There's a lot of people that didn't care for God. There's a lot of people that were serving the gods of their fathers that were on the other side of the flood. They were, or he wouldn't have said it. They were serving them. They were serving those gods of Egypt that were on the other side of the flood. There were those in the land of the Amorites that were serving their gods, or he wouldn't have said it. He said, today, right now, is the day you choose. What did Moses say when all of a sudden he come down from the mountain and there was laughter and playing as they created the golden calf and immorality going on? He said, who's on the Lord's side? What did Elijah say when Elijah called the 450 prophets of Baal and set up the two altars there and drenched them with water and called down fire from God? What did he say before that all took place? He said to the children of Israel, how long will you halt between two opinions? The bad thing is that they never answered him. Now, the children of Israel answered him in the following verses. They did. They said, oh, God forbid that we would serve another God. God forbid that we would forsake him. We'll serve the Lord also. Many of them may did. But there's a lot of them that fell off too. But Joshua himself served God, and it was a decision that he made as a leader of the home. Dads, husbands, this is directed to you. This is not your wife, not your children. It's your decision today. As a leader of a home, as God's ordained position as a priest of the home, are you going to make your home the place that will serve the Lord? Because Joshua said, as for me and my house, his wife, his children, and even possibly his servants were under his authority. He said, they're serving the Lord. This house is going to serve God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. This was a decision that would affect every individual of the home. Now it comes down to everybody in the house. Dads, husbands, your decision today will affect the home. Mom, wife, your decision today will affect the home. Teenager, young person, your decision today will affect the home. There's no one here, and by the way, you're single, you don't have any children, you have to make that personal decision, because even your personal decision in your own lazy boy while you watch TV, it'll affect your own home. Because you're not alone. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God sees it all. God knows it all. So everybody needs to make a decision. This determination, or this decision of determination, is reaching for the promises of God. Say, preacher, how am I going to do this? Go with me now, Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to show you, like I mentioned. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 7. Joshua has no idea. He's been given such a grave responsibility to take on such a task of leading the children of Israel, not just a military leader, but now a spiritual leader. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, and the context is that Joshua says, "How what am I going to do? I'm afraid. I'm weary. I can't do it." God says, "Don't be afraid. Have courage. Just stay with me." He said here in verse number 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to," how much? All. Say that again. All. "All the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left." You know what he's saying? He's saying, stay straight. Don't go off to the right hand or to the left hand. You know how many people I've seen in the ditches over the last week? You know how many tracks I've seen that there were cars there? Numerous. You know what happened? They went to the right hand or they went to the left. If they would have stayed on the straight and narrow, they wouldn't have happened. Wouldn't have gone into the ditch. God says, "I want you to stay on the straight and narrow." He says here that if you, all the things that my command of my servant, thee, turn not to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." Now here's God's promise. If I do what God tells me to do in my personal life, If I do as God tells me to do by His grace and His leadership in my life as a husband, if I do what God tells me to do as a wife, as a young person, as a single individual, then God says, "Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You want good success in your life, in your marriage? You want good success for your children? I do. I still want good success for our children. All of our kids are married, but I still want good success for them. I still pray for them. We pray for them weekly. We pray for them daily. We ask God to bless. We want God to do a great work. We want God to bless their children. We want God to do have their hand upon their every situation in the home. We want God to have a prosperity in their life. It's not going to happen if it's just my prayers. It's got to be a decision, you see. And you may be praying for someone. Somebody may be praying for you. But today is your time to make a decision. Joshua made the decision. Let me give you three things in about 2 minutes, okay? Joshua made his decision. I want you to make yours. Number one, here's your decision. I'm willing to learn and grow as God shows me in my areas of weakness. I am willing to learn and to grow as God shows me in my areas of weakness. Now, I'm going to tell you this. If you say no to number one, there's no need to go to two or three. If you say, you know, I'm not willing to go, and if God shows me, no, I don't want to change, I'm not changing, then we're not even deal with two and three. But you have to be willing to make changes. This is not about finger pointing. Oh, yeah, he's got a lot of changes to make. Oh, yeah, you want the list, preacher? I've got a list for you. And no, I don't want a list. I don't want anybody to tell me any problem. I don't want you poking or pointing fingers and saying to your teenager, "You listen, this is for you, you know. This is for your decision. You make this decision. As God shows me my areas of weakness, as God shows me my areas of weakness, I will grow. I want to learn. I am willing to learn." All right? That deals with the decision. That's concerning the mind. God brings these things in my mind. It concerns the mind. I'm willing. I know what he's showing me. I understand what he's teaching me. I'm willing to. God shows me my weaknesses. Then I'm willing. Has to do with the mind. Make that decision. Number two, I'm willing to repent from them in order to make my home a godly home. Now we're dealing with the heart. You see, I dealt with the mind. I'm willing to grow and change in my areas of weakness as God shows me. If he shows me things, I understand them, and I need to grow. I need to grow. However, I can say that while I'm blue in the face, but until my heart says, now I need to pick action to it, I'm not getting anywhere. So number two, I'm willing to repent from them in order to make my home a godly home. It deals with the heart. Is your marriage valuable enough? Is your home valuable enough to make that decision? I'm willing to learn and grow. I'm willing to repent. Deals with the heart. But the fourth one, you see, the fourth one is now the visible one. See, personally, we sit in our seat. God will share some things with you. God will show some things to you. And you personally know, you can't hide, you'll try to reject it, you'll try to cover it up, but you know God's showing you some things, all right? And you understand, I need to change that. Yes, I need to change that, and then, oh yeah, and this. And then I'll get to that after I get to this. And all these things that God's showing you, and you're willing to do it. I'm willing to do that. Number three, I'm willing to change in order to thrive instead of survive. Now you have to do the physical change. Goes from the mind. God's going to show me. Goes to the heart. I understand. I'm wrong in this. Now I have to physically make the change. Is your home valuable enough, husbands? Is your home valuable enough, wife, children? Is your home valuable enough? I'm willing to make a change in order to thrive instead of survive. Moms, dads, singles, teenagers, young person, it deals with action. Action. That's the hardest thing. Would you not agree? I know my weakness. I know where I'm wrong and I'm at fault. I know I'm an instigator at times, and I sometimes add fuel to the fire, and sometimes I light the fire and I still add fuel to the fire. I know my weakness. I have to change. And now we have to make some physical changes in our home, in our personal life. As for me, in my house, I will serve the Lord. That doesn't just mean by the heart. It doesn't just mean with the mind. But it means physically as well. I will serve the Lord. Now, here's the thing. You choose. Well, preacher, can I think about it? Joshua said, "Choose you this day." It's not a mistake, you're here. I'm just following God's leading. He didn't give me an itinerary or a guest list who was all showing today. But he brought you here. Now, therefore, choose you this day. Who are you going to serve? what's valuable to you. Is your home valuable enough to change some things? Implement some things? Become the leader? Become the submissive one? Become the honoring one, teenagers? Choose you this day whom you will serve.